And he continues on, and he says it in such a way that the Pharisees don't know that they're being talked about, talked to, or even criticized. So they will continue, and so they hear, but they don't listen. It's a brilliant way of communicating the message. I don't expect all of us to talk in parables, but just want you to see how calm Christ is about this idea of talking in parables. If you take a look in verse 1, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and a great crowd gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things. And he's telling them this parable, okay? He's going to tell them about the seed that falls on the hard ground, thorny ground, and the path. And he's also going to talk about the seeds that fall on the good ground. At no point is he emotionally angered. He's going to lose three quarters of the population given this parable, right? There are four types of soil. Three out of four of them do not get the message. So as us who are people who are going to tell the gospel, we should be just continually sowing, not expecting to see the returns. Just do it because the only way we can do this is because we love God, because we want to obey him, because it brings him much joy. He's going to lose. I mean, he's the creator of all humankind. I think he must be pained when he sees people rejecting him. And so that is something that struck me as Christ going out to tell the gospel. Some people, Doug has told me that, you know, that in verse 1, when he went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and he started to address the crowds from the sea, this was the turning point at which Christ would then go out into the Gentile world and tell them the gospel, including, so he would include the Gentile population over and above the Jewish population and not restrict them. One thing good about parables is that as you tell the story, you can always recount it yourself because it's told as a parable and you're not trying to be factual. You don't end up in an argument. So for that reason, parables are a good way to communicate the gospel. Who's the audience in this parable? The audience in this case is you. Let me see if I can find it here. In verse 11, and he answered to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." The idea here is you have now got the parable. If you get the parable, you understand that one, a lot of people are going to reject you. If you understand the parable, okay, people will not see what you see. If you get the parable, you are the minority. If you get the parable, you will always understand some things that are spiritual that the whole world does not see. So in as much as you can see here also in Matthew's discourse, he talks about Isaiah, verse 14 onwards. So he's telling the parable over and over again. Isaiah said it once before. People don't get it. They hear, but they don't get it. They hear, but they don't listen. They see, but they don't perceive. Christ is doing it again, right before our very eyes. And in the same way, I am also doing it with you. This is a part where I was supposed to say, I am telling you the parable. You may not get it, but if you do, you are blessed. The whole idea here again is that we are, the prophecy has been fulfilled. That means you are either in one of two camps, right? You hear the parable and you get it. You hear the parable and you don't get it. For whatever reason, you could have been, yeah, I'm too busy. This is not for me. I got too many things to do. So he, again, Christ outlines that very interestingly for us. He gives us many reasons why people don't accept his gospel. For that matter, they don't accept him. For that matter, they don't accept the offer to be in his family, to receive Christ. They don't accept that. They're very hard on the gospel. You think about Pharaoh. Pharaoh at one point in time was so hard that Christ decided that, or God would decided that he would harden his heart. This whole idea that is hardened troubled me for a long while. But then I read some places that this idea of heart is man's resolute against God. They're very committed. They know very clearly that God doesn't exist, for example. God is not a true God. They're very committed. They're so hard. And in Pharaoh's case, God realized he made him as human and that he had the free will to choose. And he chose to be resolved against God. And so that idea that God made him resolved or more resolved was God's idea here. He loves us all. Don't forget, when the sower sows, he sows three quarters of it will not come back to him. But he is very loving and mercy. That's the whole idea of this gospel, to show and demonstrate that God is merciful, patient, long-suffering, that nobody should perish. So in this case, Christ is the sower in this story. He is providing the background. He is doing the sower. And we are all sowers. It just doesn't limit ourselves to Christ as a sower. We are also sowers of the gospel. We are supposed to communicate the good word. We do it through the outreaches that we have through the Vacation Bible School, the Autumn Lakes. And that's a good thing. And even Connie, thank you very much for that, for reaching out to those teen moms. They really do need our help and support. But again, it is my hope and prayer that they will see past the monetary and financial help. But it starts with that. In this gospel, we talk about the different kinds of soil, where the seed lands. The seed, again, is indicative of the good word. This is the seed that when it goes into a person's ear and heart, they change. If they change that good word, you know, they say faith comes from hearing. If it changes them, it is indicative of the good soil. But when when it doesn't take root, when it gets suffocated by the cares of this world, that's when the good word gets pushed out. The path is a hard ground and people just plain reject it. And again, people don't see that. It's interesting that he would use these analogies. And you think about these ideas of a parable. It's a great way to communicate with people. But in looking at this parable, it is good to observe the following. Not only is it there's four kinds of soil, I think of also it takes a lot of patience. It takes four times. Sometimes the seed does not get into the soil initially. It takes time. Maybe you can change the soil a bit, but again, the objective here is that the soil is the object of this conversation. Yes, we know Christ is sowing the seed. Yes, we know Christ is the sower. By the end, he came to save. And there are sometimes it takes a long time for somebody to understand the gospel. And God is patient in that respect. He doesn't work on an instant time. Instant time is man's time. And then there is also endurance, there's grace, and there's mercy. Some people we know took a long time to get saved. I know of a Serge, Donovan's grandfather, who accepted Christ just before he passed. It's a long time. I think he, for that long duration, he was probably opposed to the gospel. So here's another demonstration that we have to be patient. We have to be enduring with our work. The idea that we do not listen is prevalent among us. There is a very famous song by Simon and Art Garfunkel. I'll read to you some of the words that are in there. And in the naked light, I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share. And no one dared disturb the sound of silence. I think that's very indicative of our current day. And then later down in the song, he has this part of the lyrics. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning. In the words that was forming, and the sign said, the words on the prophets are written on the subway walls, in tenement halls. This is like Isaiah, right? Isaiah said it so long ago, Christ quoted him. And we've got people writing about it in the songs, and yet people don't come to Christ, accept him. People just, for whatever reason, I have got to learn to accept that, don't get it. They don't do what God wants them to. And God in his infinite love and mercy has allowed this, has allowed us to be free will. You know, you guys all know that this in due time will not continue. We will not have free will anymore. We will be judged. And when that happens, this will all stop. Hold on 1 second. Got a dog. Dog opens the door. Comes in. I guess this parable is all about how well do you listen? Are you listening? Are you not only listening, are you seeing your hundredfold? That's one of the gauges here that's found in this passage. Our brother Sammy just passed away recently. And throughout his life, he was sowing seeds of goodness. He was sowing seeds of kindness. All of you will agree with me. He was a kind man. I've heard multiple stories, and they came back, and people told those stories about him. They talked about him bringing the warm blanket and all, and he was a very kind doctor. So as a sower, we don't have to just use our words to demonstrate our love for God. We can use our actions that people will come back and appreciate. But Sammy always said, praise the Lord whenever he could. You know, he always gave God the credit wherever he could. Always. That's one thing about, one thing we want to know about the listening ability, because at the bottom there, if you read in verse 9 or even the other ones, let's see. Sorry, in verse 23. And for what was sown on good soil, this one was the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another case 60, and in another 30. Just know that the whole idea here is to yield fruit. I don't know who does the accounting for how much is my yield, but I just want to just sow the good word. So in this parable, the determining factor here is the soil, not the sower. Much as Christ is in the whole story, it's a relationship. Relationship between Christ and the people. What is your heart, the state of your heart? Is it a receptive, soft heart that you can take it? And even if you do take it, do you take it and generate good harvest for God? It is not for us, because we now know what the parable is. It is not for us to think that we know more than the other people. The idea here is that we have a responsibility to God when we have this knowledge, that that to use this abilities to generate returns for God. There's one thing about this parables that we have is that we have people who are drawn to Christ's ministry because it's an unusual ministry. Not everybody will take to it. And the reason is because Christ's ministry is an unusual ministry. It requires us to be humble. It requires us to be not confrontational and all. But the whole idea here is that this unusual ministry, our life, is a Christ-centered ministry. So, some takeaways. For myself, I think I learned that I don't listen so well, and that I could listen to God better. For myself, I see the prophecy fulfilled. Take a look in verse 11. And he answered to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." So I have been given a prophecy. So the idea here is that we are living out God's ministry. We are living out his prophecy. As you can see already in your own walks of life, if you try to tell somebody about Christ, they are not going to be receptive. In a sense, if you have encountered that, then good. Because you are the Isaiahs, you stand with Christ, and you stand with the sower, rejected. Because 3/4 of these people, or 3/4 of this category of people, will later crucify Christ. You are fulfilling the prophecy. The prophecy that is found in verse 14. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart have grown dull with their ears, and they can barely hear. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Verse 15 says something very interesting. I looked at it and said, hey, you know, God can make them see, right? If he does do that, there is no free will. We do not choose. And so, we are seeing the prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah's prophecy, Christ's prophecy, and we are adding to it. That's all. We are not adding to the scriptures, but we are adding to the prophecy. So, for those of you that are out there that are still not getting it, it's good. Because if you don't understand the eternal meaning and you're hearing what I'm saying, you're in a good place. You know you don't understand. Know that you are seeing and not perceiving. Know that you're hearing and not listening. I would encourage you to seek with any of the elders or anybody else that's in the chapel here, to find out what is it that God wants you to see. God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to tell you the secrets of this kingdom. He wants you to see. He wants you to perceive. And so today, you have this opportunity. Do not pick three quarters of the population. If you listen and understood, you have the privilege of insight. But nonetheless, a decision has been made going forward. So, in a sense, the responsibility is on you. Because to demonstrate faith is at odds with convincing proof. So this morning, I just hope that you have benefited from the parable of the sower and you would be convicted to understand, to draw closer to God, to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Because he has given it. It is not withheld. It's just only matter. It's just you don't see it. You can see if you try, but you need to get over your condition of heart heartedness, be it hard-heartedness or be it distractions, be it not the good foundation. And so I would like to, if possible, close with a word of prayer, and all of us, and then we can close the meeting. Father, we come to you and we are grateful that you would love us enough to send your son to reach out to us sinful people. I was once not listening. I was once not hearing. At one point in time, I was not perceiving what you would want me to do. And I can do a better job every day. And Father, I draw closer to you. As I draw closer to you, I ask you to challenge my life and see more of the mysteries that you have provided for us. You would that all of us have our eyes open and see all the mysteries in this world. And Father, we thank you this morning. We think about anybody that's in earshot today that have an opportunity to listen, that they would question what is said, because Father, I am just your mouthpiece, and that your word is more important. I ask all this and pray all this in your son's most holy and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.